All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Listening to Nasty Knuckles, the Hockey Outlaws podcast, with your hosts, Terry Nasty Suttermeyer and former Philadelphia Flyer enforcer Riley Cote, as they go behind the scenes with your favorite NHL players. Time to face off.
All right, welcome back. What's happening, Nasty?
Oh, what's up, Rigorelli? It's been a while since we've been in the old stew.
It has.
With Debo and his broken headphones and baller. It's been a while.
It's been a minute.
We had a week off there. Some complications, not with us, but with some guests. But anyway, just getting back from Arizona with you. Fuck, you were there about a good 18 hours.
I'm
4 days.
Soaking up the Arizona sun.
It was awesome, man. Went with our good friends from Tovey Hockey. In all honesty, great show.
It was.
So much well traffic through our area, and a lot of heat, a lot of people talking about it. You know, once they saw some of these players with it in their hand and actually getting the feedback, you know, from TJ Oshie, Johnny Carlson, just to mention a couple guys. The words traveled, and it was nice to see.
It is, yeah. And I'll say, too, this little presentation that we did there to the trainers,
yes,
the equipment managers, to actually talk about the science and the functionality of the technology certainly helps plant the seeds that are not coming up to the booth and then asking and, you know, trying to learn about it there in real time. So I think that helps. But also having, you know, real-time NHL guys have used the stick and, you know, talking about their experience certainly helps. So,
yeah,
I think this is the year, Nass.
I do, too. I mean, and, you know, it wasn't just, oh, okay, yeah, check it. They were like, no, we want you to come in. We want you to come to development camps, to training camp. And, you know, there's a lot of talk about the stick. And it's funny the way Richard kind of explained it. He's like, it's the iPhone sticks. And we kind of laughed about it, but it really is, because this technology, once these guys, more and more guys, get it in their hand, again, I'm not a guy that can shoot a hockey puck very well. You can, but just the feel, and we've talked about this a million times, I really think this is the year. I mean, I know it's the year, actually.
Yeah, I know it, too.
You know, we've got some guys we know about it that are just raving and love it. So, but like you said, the technology, from a foam cord stick, which we've talked about, and this, it's not even close.
Yeah.
It really isn't. And I think before too long, you're going to see, you know, I don't want to get greedy, but, you know, 35, 40% of guys moving to this technology.
I agree.
And other companies, the only thing is they can't copy it.
They'll have to create their own patented version of that technology.
Yeah.
But I think going to that, you know, that full piece carbon fiber blade,
yes,
and getting away from the foam, as you mentioned, would you say that it's a transition from a flip phone to an iPhone?
I would say it definitely is. I know you're still using a Flipsy, but because yours is never on. I can't seem to find him, eh, boys? Like, we need him. But... oh boy, I did find him the one morning doing yoga and
you're sleeping. You're sleeping in.
Sleeping. I was awake. You text me at 5:30. You're like, I was surprised you were awake. I was up.
Well, I was getting after it. And you were watching me get after it.
I was out running in the desert heat.
Were you?
Oh yeah. Well, maybe not that morning, but I did. but anyway, great trip. You know, our buddies Aaron Krause and Brian and Richard, we had a blast. So it was nice to get out there and see all the equipment guys, a lot of our buddies. A
couple scares there too, Nast, eh?
Yeah, a couple scares.
Keeping guys on their toes?
Yeah, I was hiding, doing some things.
Just laying in the weeds.
I really thought Richard was going to drop. I was a little worried.
He almost killed him.
I did.
But, he always had the big one.
Pure terror on his face. I should have.
How did you not have your phone?
I just screwed up.
That was a huge faux pas.
Well, because I ran in quickly. But anyway, we'll still maybe post that. But it's just not as good as you if you could have seen his face.
Yeah, it was great time.
Great time. Thanks to Toby. Can't wait to see where we go here in the future. I think it's looking very, very positive. Obviously, but in hockey news, the Flyers traded our good friend of the show, Kevin Hayes.
Hayes.
Gonna miss that dude. What, just such a good human. And good luck to him, man.
Yeah.
I'm happy. I think everybody kind of knows he,
yeah, I think that
he
was inevitable
out of here. And fortunately a few guys are saying that, but I think it'll be good for him.
Yeah. Yeah, some an opportunity to have a fresh start and in a new relationship with the coach.
He's
and
gonna
team.
Love Chief, man. Oh, I could just hear these two going at it.
Oh yeah.
Oh God, that'll be fun to watch. Chief's excited to have him.
So. Yeah, no, I think it's good for him. You know, we used to talk about this with Provy. You know, sometimes guys get to a point in their career on a certain team that it's just not working.
Right.
You know, just doesn't seem to evolve the way it's supposed to, and then going and have a fresh start somewhere else kind of revive you.
And
new opportunity.
Exactly. And his agent alluded to, you know, things really started going south in December, and he was unhappy. And he's been through a lot in the last, you know, couple of years, obviously. Mm-hmm. So I think going there, Chief's so funny, so positive. I mean, he demands a lot from you, and I don't think Hazy's afraid of that. But I look for him to have a really good year. And for the Blues, with the Flyers keeping half that salary, that's could turn out to be a really good thing for Chief and the St. Louis Blues.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah, it was inevitable that it was going to happen, and you know, there's no way that Hazy and Torts are going to be in the same locker room.
No,
but I think you got to eat some salary sometime to make a move, and I think that's what they were forced to do. And I wish him the best. Good dude.
Yeah,
he'll
for sure.
Do well.
Love you, Hollywood.
Yeah, I'm sure there's more to come. I know there was. We talk about it with Frank on the pod, but. You know, it was a larger deal that was in play that obviously got squashed.
Right.
No one's really sure the exact pieces there, but I'm sure, you know, whether it's tomorrow, today on free agency and or the next few days after that, I'm sure there'll be some more movement. So
yeah, for sure.
I don't think Danny B's done yet.
I don't either. And then, you know, Debo, our insider, he's on the computer clicking away, and he's got on the phone, and he's thinks it's going to be really busy here for the Flyboys. I still think we need to get him a new set of headphones for his birthday or Christmas. Baller, please post him on the Debo. The damn thing's hanging down, and
headphones are expensive.
all the money you're making here, and you can't get a new set.
We're gonna get him a new set.
And your damn best buddy here is just letting you sit there. Baller's like, screw it, man. I look good. I'm not worried about it. But I will say this: we have to talk about the draft. Obviously, we have our good friend Frank Cervalli coming on, but I think we need a contest, and I think Baller, you're gonna have to do it, and you may not like this, but I want to know. I think we should put out there to the people. Who was more excited about the first pick? Chris Mayer, our good friend, or Baller? Both reactions were...
We're going side by side.
I thought, like you would think we're going to win the Cup next year. Like, next year.
We might.
It's always
just
a
like
chance.
Calgary, just like Calgary's building that back. Yeah.
Well, you know, Calgary, it's almost done. but I think we need to have a contest, Baller, where we put it up there to you. Debo was... Hi, so he didn't get as excited. And he had one ear. I don't think he heard everything because his ear thing was down, but I think we need to put that up and have a little contest.
I think so.
No, it was great,
excitement
though. And you know what? Big balls, Danny, man. I love that pick because you never know what could happen, but this guy's a game changer. We all know it. You've seen the highlights.
Not bad. Kind of looks like you and Menzie.
He's got mitts like mine. Let's not lie. No, I'm kidding. But I was pumped, too, like because, you know, like they're showing the fans, the team. They mean business, man, and they're doing it the right way. You know, you hate to see guys go. I know we're going to see more guys go. But if you're going to do it, this is what has to happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that was a great pick.
I'm looking forward to see how that one plays out. Obviously, a few years away.
Yeah.
But it'll be, you know, perfect time in the rebuild for him to come in and insert himself and be, you know, that impact player that you're expecting him to be. So.
Yeah, old Mishy.
Oh, Mitchy Mitch.
You know, Mitchy Mitch.
So. Excited about that. And then our good friend Mike Canubo.
Yeah.
Canuble.
Can't believe it.
Yeah. Can't believe he has a son that's draft eligible.
We got him. Flyboys got him. when we were at the Flyer Alumni Tournament last week, Monday, he told me that Cole was, you know, available. And that's really cool that the Flyers, you know, grab him. So,
yeah.
Congrats to Noobs and Noobs. Little Noobs, Cole. Used to be running around the locker room.
I know, right?
Probably wouldn't even recognize him once I see him.
I know.
But that's really cool. That's really cool.
Yeah. And also wanted to give a shout-out to our friend John Stevens.
Yes.
Third Stanley Cup.
Does this guy just win? Like,
sure seems like
it. I mean, Calder Cups, you know, as a player, as a coach, you know, three Stanley Cups as a coach, you know. I think we talked about it the one time. Like, I'd be surprised if he doesn't get a few offers. I don't know what's available.
Yeah,
we talked about that.
Yeah. Is he just like an amazing assistant coach, and then the head coaching job is tough because you need to be hired in a position where you have some horses, right?
Otherwise,
it doesn't matter how knowledgeable you are, and you know what you know doesn't translate, but. He's in some good situations as assistant coaches, and you know, obviously had major success. It's just you know, I'd like to see him like get another head coaching job. I've always loved Johnny.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, you talk about a pro and structure and detail and passion. I mean,
cares about all the boxes
checked. But you know, that being said, there's a lot of guys that are like Johnny in the sense that are. You know, check all the boxes, right?
Yeah.
Love the game, structure, discipline, professional. I guess it's just about getting that opportunity and riding with it. But
yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I wish him the best. Maybe he has the cup down the beach, down the shore there again.
I'm sure he will.
Yeah, probably have to pop in there.
Yeah, Debo, you good with that? Just do not wear your headset that day. Okay? We're going to take care of that situation, bro. Didn't that come from you breaking it because of your boy?
Bo?
Horvat. Unfortunately.
It happens. You get a little frustrated.
Yeah. I understand. Real quick, also just want to thank, you know, the Flyer Alumni Tournament. We had a great time. Our buddies from Clear came. You played out of your mind. You saw the crowd and the clip put up.
Just cheering.
Just going nuts. I thought
full support.
I thought Tiger was out there.
Oh. felt like it.
You were putting like him.
I was. I got a lot of good guidance from my couple of my caddies.
Yeah.
That was good. Yep. It was a fun day. Thanks, Baller, Debo, for helping out. But
we do need to work on your guys' golf attire. I will say that we did get some we got some pushback from the country club there.
We might not be welcome back.
We might not be able to go back. But Baller, Debo, I will say this: when it's 95 out, you probably should wear a black t-shirt, black hat, and dark gray jeans.
I am prepared.
He didn't get the memo.
He didn't get the memo.
The 5-hour
but
forecast.
But you freshened up for afterwards. You guys look good. You had your polos on. Looked sharp.
Yeah, that was a good time. Probably the best.
I said to Debo, dude, Reed, I've never been to a... You couldn't even drive. You couldn't go to a country club. You couldn't drive the golf
either.
Cart
I don't
either.
I don't either, Debo.
He couldn't get her in park. He couldn't reverse it. Yeah, like, are you serious?
Like,
are you
Austin serious? Powers.
He's like, I've never been in one of these. It was a good time. You're the man, Debo.
Yeah.
But we had a great time, and it was great seeing a lot of guys there, obviously.
Yeah, it was nice turnout.
It was really cool, yeah.
Yeah. Lots of fun. Look forward to the next one.
Yep.
Because next year at that golf tournament will be the next time I play. So
we'll try to get you out one more.
At least one. Well, so
just one more.
I'll be extra good next year.
Yeah, you'll be really good if you get another round in.
Whew. That was the best outing I've ever had, Nest.
You did
short
did well.
Game. Short game was surprisingly good.
Short game was really good. Really was.
Drives? Whew. That was pretty ugly. That was pretty
that
ugly.
That was awful, too.
But it was fun.
It was a good time. Yep.
We're ready to rock your Nast.
I think we're ready.
Episode 121 with our friend Frank Saravelli.
Yes.
You ready?
Let's go.
Let's go. Welcome back. I'm Riley Cote.
And I'm Derek Settlemyer. And this week has been a crazy week, in hockey. We have our great friend on, NHL Insider, host of Daily Faceoff Live, and I believe a new owner in stock at Tootsie's in Nashville, or one of the places. Frank Saravelli, what's up, brother?
What a town. I seem to remember at one point in my life having a night with you in Nashville.
Yes, I remember.
And that town bites back. It's kind of, it's like adult Disneyland. I mean,
yeah, right?
I don't know if you've been there recently, but they've got all sorts of crazy setups there now. You know, it just keeps expanding, and you know, the each place you walk into, the next level you go to, it gets a little bit crazier. And then you step outside, and there's like they now have little portable carts that sell edibles and gummies there.
Yes.
Find yourself in one.
We were just there last year with our buddies, Fans of Philly, and yeah, it was a good few days.
Oh yeah. Yeah, it wears on you.
Yeah, man. And you know, you actually have to have your mind sharp too for what you're doing. So I can only imagine.
Yeah, I'd say for the first time in a long time, after round one of the draft on Wednesday night, I was just zonked. I couldn't bring myself to walk down to Broadway. It was like left the rink at 11:30. And finally, for once in my life, a good boy. I felt like I should have earned a tip for that. Just go back and order some room service and go to bed.
That's impressive, man. I've told myself I'm going to do it, but then I get one in me, and it's like, just so
once
good
it hits your lips, yeah.
And you kind of get revamped. But, man, so you had a good time there anyway. I guess I'd start off with the Flyers, Danny Briere. What were your thoughts on that pick at number 7?
I think Matvei Michkov is a grand slam upper deck home run for Danny Briere and the Philadelphia Flyers. I think watching him play and getting a real sense of the player and his impact is incredibly impressive. I think he's one of those picks that you're going to have 4 to 5 other teams really rue the missed opportunity in 5 years' time. And I think what I like most about the pick is that for what the Flyers are embarking on with this rebuild and the grand vision that Danny Briere has to get the Flyers back into being a contender, is Matvei Michkov is almost idiot-proof.
Hmm.
Like, the Flyers have had some hits and misses in the draft. But then there's also been questions about, it's great to pick a player, but then you have to develop him and get him to the NHL. And the fact that you're going to basically have to have hands off for the next few years, and have him come over when he's ready in 2026, when his contract is up, that's a real plus. And then on top of that, that's when you get to begin the entry-level contract and the significant cap savings that you get for an impact guy that steps right into your lineup. So the timeline lines up. I think the player is an unbelievable find. To, you know, this guy is going to be a star. He's going to be the next Kirill Kaprizov, the next Nikita Kucherov, whoever it might be. He's that good. He had all of the talent to be, in any normal year, he'd be the number one overall pick, and teams would have said, hey, I'm willing to go with whatever the risk is in order to get this player. Here's the funny thing. I don't think there's any risk. He wants to play in the NHL. There's no question. And now finally the Flyers got an opportunity to meet with him twice in the last week that really kind of put their minds at ease.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah, you mentioned no risk. That was going to be my next question. Any concerns around it? Do you see the ability to potentially buy him out of that contract? Is that even a possibility?
So I checked in with the league on that possibility on Thursday. And the answer to that is it possible? Yes. In fact, I wrote a story a number of years back about Kucherov and his journey over, and him also being a little bit of a later pick, much later than seven, even though the talent was there, because teams were afraid of his contract and because teams were unsure about the player. I think you've taken that situation, and because of the socio-political world that we're living in now, it's ratcheted up a bit because it's Russia. And so can they buy him out? Yes. And would the NHL then allow him to sign a contract to play for the Flyers? The answer is yes, but the league would need to see some proof that the contract was satisfied, because the league isn't in any position to be allowing players that are still actively under contract with other leagues to come over and play in the NHL. So I personally, going back to the timeline, why would you? Unless he's asking you to and dying to get out of there, which I don't have any sense that's the case, allow him to be comfortable, be at home, and grow at his own pace while the Flyers are just kind of still tearing this thing down to the studs.
Yeah, right. No, I agree with that. Yeah, I mean, he's obviously playing with men on the larger ice surface, and I mean, the developmental piece is happening organically for him. But yeah, why rush it, really? I mean, now is not necessarily the time that you need him. Yeah. You'd
be burning the first couple years of his contract,
exactly,
kind of for no reason. The Flyers aren't really even trying to be good yet.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, that's a really good point.
Would you say, Frank, out of the draft, or maybe even the first round, was that the biggest surprise, or did it not really surprise you?
No, I think Leo Carlson going number two to Anaheim surprised me, because the Ducks bypassed in Adam Fantilli. I think he's a ready-made star. Not to say Carlson can't be. Carlson might be the more complete player. Like, the Ducks guys were telling me that they think he can be a Selke winner at center and be the next sort of Patrice Bergeron type player. And what an unbelievable guy to find. But in Fantilli, I look at the historic numbers that he put up at Michigan, and I see that he's got a little bit of bite and edge to his game, not afraid to mix it up. He's got a little bit of size. Like, that's the guy that I'd love to get my hands on down the middle for building your team. So I guess, look, everyone wants to grade draft classes right after, which I think is the funniest thing about media. It's like, we can do that in 5 years. Don't ask me before then, because we'll know what Leo Carlson is then, and we'll know what Adam Fantilli is and Matvei Michkov. But from a surprise perspective for the Flyers, I got a sense late last week that he was someone that they were really seriously considering. And in fact, I mentioned Monday to start off the week that he was one player that they had targeted and talked to other teams about the potential of moving up. I know they called San Jose and Montreal and asked the question, what would it take for us to get to number four or five overall? Because they had him in mind. Obviously, you're not telling the team which player you're going to pick. But then the Flyers started doing their calculus of, well, if we just do nothing, is there a chance that this guy could land in our lap? And the board broke perfectly. The Canadians were also considering potentially sliding back from number five. They had their eyes on David Reinbacher, and they got their defenseman.
Oh, easy for you to say.
Yeah.
Yeah. Poor Carey Price. That's what I'm saying. Poor guy, man. I felt
that
so bad.
That was a tough moment. I was a little backstory. I had traded messages with Kent Hughes on the draft floor, and I said, I was asking, hey, are you keeping the pick? Are you trading it? And he sent a message back that said, sorry, I was practicing my French. And I said, maybe you should have had Carey Price practice as well.
Yeah, right. Oh, man, I felt terrible for him.
I had to throw that in there. I'm sorry.
Yeah. But, I mean, hey, like, how'd that work out for Claude Giroux? Pretty good.
Exactly.
Yes,
yeah,
exactly. I had to show Elvis. I told him that we were watching, and I said, Mr. Clark did that with Claude. He goes, show me. So, course, I had to show him. But you're right, it did work out well for G.
Hey, I heard Elvis is a little podcast star now.
Oh yeah, man. Hey, they shot in here the other day. You can't hear a damn thing. They used their phone.
Oh yeah, yeah. Yeah.
He was watching.
We're gonna have to get that part of the Nation Network of podcasts.
yeah
get that on Hockey Fights.
Whew. Yeah, right. Yeah, get the kids pods going.
They're funny.
A little different perspective.
Well, speaking of the Flyers, like, there's some names. Like, we heard about this trade supposedly with St. Louis last week. Do you think, is there interest in Travis Sanheim, even with this 8-year deal, you know, that's going to start this year?
Yeah, I think there is. And I think when you look at the market, and particularly the free agent market, and you see Damon Severson go from New Jersey to Columbus and signs pretty much the identical deal that Sanheim did. And I think Sanheim's a better player. Like, I think, you know, 25 out of 31 teams are picking Sanheim over Severson. Different players, but I think Sanheim has, you know, more to give. And so, as onerous as that contract is for the Flyers, it's not really that big of a deal for other teams, I think, that are trying to reshape their defense corps. And for me, two teams in particular stand out. We don't know what the Calgary Flames are doing quite yet in terms of all the pieces that they're moving. But now Noah Hanifin is going to be on his way out, and whether it's now or whether it's at some point before the deadline. And I just, you know, I remember going to visit Travis Sanheim after the Flyers picked him, and he was playing for the Calgary Hitmen. And I think what an easy fit that would be for a team that's looking for that type of player. And if you're thinking about Sanheim and his, you know, no trade clause that kicks in on Saturday, you're thinking that's probably a team that's a pretty good fit for him. And then I'm also thinking the Winnipeg Jets, a team that really struggles to sign free agents. Would the Elkhorn Manitoba native be willing to go there? Like, that seems to be a fit for me too. So those are two teams in particular that I have an eye on for Sanheim. And I think, look, this next, honestly, I believe Friday later today is going to be fascinating before the Flyers lose some of that flexibility that they have to send them where they want, because that deal is already signed. Mm. Again, I don't think it's a huge roadblock, but I do think, you know, there's some intrigue in terms of the next days and weeks to get something like that done. The Flyers don't have to do it, but it doesn't really make any sense to pay a defenseman for the next 8 years when you're just starting your rebuild.
Right.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Yeah, the insight on Calgary Winnipeg is some good info. We wanted to talk to you about Calgary. I mean, I'm not shifting gears too much here, but like, what's going on there? And you know, having a hard time attracting players. I mean, obviously Sanheim in this case has a relationship with the city from his junior days, but you know, what's going on there?
Well, it's kind of a mess. Craig Conroy has a lot to sift through there, and he's just on the job for a few weeks, and it's kind of like stepping into a new role, your head's spinning, and then all of a sudden a bunch of players step forward and hit you in the face with a 2x4.
Yeah, right.
The Tyler Toffoli trade was a little bit more imminent because he had asked for one and really seemed to be pushing to get out. And it was also an easy trade to make because his value way exceeded his cap hit, and he's coming off of a career year and is going to make a lot of sense in New Jersey. The other guys that are left standing mentioned Hanifin. Michael Backlund has kind of dug his heels in a bit, and the Flames haven't actually even been able to present him with a contract offer. And after 15 years, the one holdover that actually still played with Craig Conroy, they're going to try and convince him to stay. I think he's going to be on the move. And then when it comes to Elias Lindholm, they're waiting on clarity. Like, they've put a massive offer on the table for Elias Lindholm to sign and stay. And when I say massive, like, we're talking like $65 million plus.
Wow.
And he's not sure what he wants to do. He's told them, thank you, I appreciate it, but I need to get back to you. And The longer that lingers, the more speculation grows. And it's not just because we're talking about it. It's because other teams are hearing that Lindholm is unlikely to re-sign there. And if that's the case, really what it boils down to for the Flames is they have a decision to make. Are we going to bring these guys back for the final year of their deal and put the pressure on them to perform in a contract year? Or are we going to bite the bullet, rip the Band-Aid off, and get these guys moving and send them somewhere else to begin reshaping our team?
Yeah. Seems like you said that it's a mess.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. That's a serious conundrum.
To you. So, you know, I'll go back to the Flyers here for a second. We had heard rumors about Scott Laughton being moved. Like, I guess it would make sense just because of his age and you know, how long this, I don't know how long this rebuild's going to take, but are you hearing anybody that is interested? I would assume there's a lot of teams.
Well, I think his value's probably increased since the season and the world championships there.
Yeah, it has. And he's just sort of the consummate on a contending team ideal third line center. Mm-hmm. And his cap hit is reasonable. I love how he reinvented himself in his game. You remember a few years back in his development, he had played almost 3 years in the NHL and they decided to send him back to the Phantoms. And he just totally remade himself, became, you know, less focused on points and stressing about offensive production and really learned how to play. I hate the phrase, but the 200-foot game. He really became that important piece for the Flyers. And unfortunately, with the way the Flyers are going, he has more value to other teams than he does the Flyers. I was actually a bit surprised that the St. Louis Blues didn't grab him because I know that they had talked about him. I know that they had put an offer on the table that was quite enticing, and they ended up going the Kevin Hayes route. And I'm surprised only because I guess when you look at the production from Hayes, who also plays pretty well defensively and can kill penalties, there's higher upside at $3.6 million than the ceiling that exists for Scott Laughton at three. But at the same time, I can tell you that Doug Armstrong, the Blues GM, found Scott Laughton to be incredibly impressive from his, you know, time at the World Championships, that I thought that that would be a guy that they would target.
Sure.
I mean, right. Who's looking for centers? You know, go down the list in the league. There's a third, if not half, the teams are in the market for one at varying price points. And I think the Flyers have had no shortage of interest, but have had a tough time pulling the trigger because they think there's a nice premium that's on Scott Laughton based on the cap hit, the term that he has left that really provides some cost certainty, and really the assets that the Flyers would get in terms of where they're heading.
Right. Yeah. Was his name lumped in that, you know, four Flyer player deal going to St. Louis before Torrey Krug didn't agree to waiving his no movement clause? Was that what you were hearing?
To my knowledge.
No. So that was a totally separate deal.
I think they talked about that before they had engaged in something on Hayes and the rest of that package.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could have seen a lot of interest there, but yeah, I mean, yeah, I guess we'll see.
Yeah. Well, I was going to ask also, sorry, Ross, what was your thoughts on the Provorov trade?
You know, the Provorov trade is interesting because I think he's going to go to Columbus and be way better than he was in Philly. Hmm. And I think part of that is a change of scenery. Part of that is the fact that he's not going to be asked to do as much. I mean, with the Flyers and the defense corps that they have, there's really a lot of pressure on him, not just to perform, but to do a lot of the heavy lifting. And when you can have, you know, Zach Werenski play in front of you in the lineup, the guy that was coincidentally picked with the selection after you in the draft, and you were kind of compared to for a while. And if you think back to the beginning of their careers, the way Provorov stepped into the NHL, he was actually like a notch above Werenski in terms of where they were trending. And I don't know what happened to Provorov. I don't know if he grew frustrated with what was happening, if he just didn't have the proper support around him on the ice. But I think there's more there. And in that vein, I think the Flyers didn't really get enough, because I think if you hang on to him a bit more, I just thought maybe you could get more. And right. I guess my intrigue is in the timing of it. Like, was there something that the Flyers were just like, look, we got to move this guy and we don't want to head into next season with him again, that maybe that's what that produces? But it was more so not necessarily what they got for Provorov, but when you size the whole deal up, the contracts that they took on in Cal Peterson and Sean Walker, it's almost $8 million in cap space. And I understand that Danny Briere and the Flyers are trying to weaponize the cap space that they have. But when you consider, like, okay, so the Chicago Blackhawks on Thursday got a second round pick to take on Josh Bailey's $5 million deal. The Flyers basically only got a first and what, 2 seconds for the yeah. whole thing for those two contracts plus Provorov. And then you think back to what Columbus paid for, or Columbus got for Gavrikov. Basically, the Kings were able to get off of that $8 million for a second and prospect Helga Granz, who, depending on who you talk to, is a C-level prospect that, you know, people think can be an NHL player, but is not. He was compared to me to be Marcus Nudavara, if you know him, basically just your sort of 5, 6, 7 defenseman. So a second and that prospect, I don't know. To me, like, I felt like there's something off in the equation, whether it's they didn't get enough from the Kings to take on the contracts, or they didn't get enough for Provorov to smash the whole thing together. It just kind of left me wanting more. And that's mostly due to how I view Provorov. Like, I just think he's really good.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
That's
I agree.
Interesting the way you broke that down, actually.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people are like, oh, we got all this. But when you really break it down, like you're saying, yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah.
So I actually had this conversation with a GM at the draft about how fans in general, and in fact, it's mostly media driven, get enamored by the idea of first and second round picks. So like, let's go to that Toffoli trade. Fans were bellyaching in Calgary about not getting a first round pick for Toffoli. Why did we get Sharon Govich and a third? And I think the Flames could have gotten a late first round pick from someone for Toffoli. But the Flyers got number 22 overall as part of this deal. And when you look at the draft from a statistical lens, like, are there guys in the 20s that become stars and impact players? Like, the Flyers feasted on that in the early 2000s, drafting really good players in that range. But by and large, once you get past pick 14 or 15, it's essentially flip a coin as to whether or not that guy ends up playing 200 games in the NHL. And my thought process is, it's important for the Flyers, especially in this deep draft, to collect as many assets as they can. And maybe Bonk will end up being something really interesting for them. But maybe not.
Yeah.
There's no guarantee. And I, you know, you need to take the chance in the rebuild, but that's the other part of the rebuild is, like, I love the idea that the Flyers are doing something different than they've ever done. But at the same time, there's, you know, I'm wearing a Sixers, you know, hoodie. They're a perfect reminder that the rebuild doesn't always go the way you want it to.
Right.
That's right.
Right.
You need a lot of luck and you need a lot of things to have happen for you.
Yeah, that's the truth.
That's true. That is true.
What's the Flyers goalie situation look like down the road with Carter Hart and then obviously picking two goalies? What do you see there?
Yeah, so the Flyers did get some calls on Carter Hart going back a number of weeks. I think it's been pretty quiet of late. And I think, and I've mentioned this, part of the reason for it is I don't think anyone's going to be trading for any, like, this is not necessarily Carter Hart specific. I don't think anyone's trading for anyone that played on the 2018 Team Canada World Junior team until there's some kind of report.
Right.
So that's been one holdup, I think. I think the Flyers are open to anything. I was told that the best way to explain it is the only untouchable, the only player that the Flyers won't move for any reason is Cutter Gauthier, and that makes sense. So everyone else sort of has varying price points from, you know, Konechny and Hart to, you know, go down the, to the bottom of the list and other guys that, you know, they'd consider moving. They've got options, and I love that they took some goalies.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
I've been saying this forever. It's the most important position in the sport. And the fact that more goalies aren't taken higher in the draft, we didn't have a first round goalie taken this year. Get as many as you can. And, you know, if some of them pan out, awesome, use them. And if not, you've got some incredible trade value and commodities to send somewhere else. That the best problem that you can have is that you've got some great goalies in your pipeline that teams are always looking for. So
sure.
I just think you build your team personally from the net out. And I think the Flyers have really, you know, driven and focused on that idea of goalie and a really smart mobile defense that's, you know, fits the 2023 style of game.
Yeah, that's you're so right, Frank. And the other thing I want to ask you too about Carter, obviously, you know, there's been talk about what you were the World Junior team. Is it dangerous to trade him though? And the reason I'm asking this is because we finally got a real number one goalie. Like, every team has a number one goalie, but I think, in my opinion, there's only a few real number one goalies. I feel like he's only going to be 27 in 3 years. Like, do you think like it's a dangerous thing? Because you don't really know. I know Samuel Ersson had some good games, but he only played about 9 or 10 games.
Yeah.
Like, you're taking a huge risk, are you not, if you do move him?
Well, there's no doubt that it, you may be chasing to find the next Carter Hart as soon as you move him. And there is the risk in that. But there also is the risk. There's two parts of it. One, if you keep him, one, he plays too well and essentially gets in the way of what you're trying to accomplish, which is to bottom out.
That's a great point.
And two, that there's so much losing and so much that goes on around him in the meantime that by the time you get closer to where you want to get to, he's worn out. Yeah. And I don't mean just from seeing so many shots, but just
emotionally, mentally.
It's a lot to ask of someone to be in that spot.
Yeah.
You know, how do you think John Gibson feels the last 3 or 4 years in Anaheim, just getting absolutely pummeled with shots on a nightly basis and knowing when you walk into the rink every day that you have next to no chance to win?
Yeah.
That's not fun.
It's a really good point.
That's not fun. Yeah.
It sucks.
Yeah.
And guess what? Yeah. John Gibson's asked for a trade, and I've reported that, and he's said, I am not playing another game for the Anaheim Ducks.
Wow.
It's bold. Wow.
So that's a kind of what you back yourself into if you end up going down this path and it's more scorched earth than not. You risk also devaluing the asset because his numbers start to go down or whatever it might be. No one's questioning that he's a good goalie. And to answer the other part of where you see him, I think teams around the league think that there's like 6 really good, put your head on the pillow at night and sleep soundly if you're a GM, not have to wonder with your guy in net. It's like Vasilevsky, Sorokin, Saros, Shesterkin. It's a really small group. Hellebuck is in there.
Yeah.
And then the next tier down is Carter Hart, Thatcher Demko, these other guys that are out there that have a ton of skill that are going to give you, better, much better than league average goaltending, but aren't quite at that same next, elite of the elite level that are in the Vezina conversation every year. So that's kind of the exciting part for whoever might be interested in Carter Hart is that it usually takes goalies until right around his age now to even kind of make it to the NHL. He's already got that footing behind him and the experience that if he can also just, and I don't think I'm telling any tales out of school here. Like, I think he needs to grow up a little bit. And I think that that's been part of what the conversation has been. They'd like to see a little bit of maturity from him that can allow him to take his game to the next level.
Yeah, that's great insight.
Good point, John.
Yeah, I guess we'll see how that one plays out. But I see your point there on devaluing the asset there, and see how this thing plays out. But it's a tough
crazy
one because we go look back at Bob Roski, and if it happens again, it's like you're looking at potentially another goal that kind of falls through the cracks there. But
that was a fuck up of a whole different. That was a million, like I was there for all that. And that was a million different things going on. Part of it, like what hurts so much more about Bobrovsky is the Flyers were trying to be good.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
They were trying to win and compete, and they got in their own way by spending $50 million on Ilya Brizgalov.
Yeah.
And then it forces you to trade Bobrovsky. This time around with Carter Hart, I know how much attention and focus has been in this market of trying to get a solid number one that you can count on. And they have that.
Mm-hmm.
But now he's arrived at a time when you don't want to be good.
Yeah. What a conundrum.
Shit,
eh?
Ever. Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
You're right, Frank. It's exactly.
Yeah. You forget what the psychology of it all, right? It's
I'll never forget, by the way. I was in Vegas for the NHL Awards, and there was sort of this idea out there that, the Flyers were going to finally solve their goaltending issues. And I was walking in the casino to go to like one of the NHL events, and I ran into Ed Snyder, and I had seen some of the speculation, and I said, "Hey, like, have you heard about this Brizgalov thing? What's going on?" And he goes, "What do you mean, what's going on?" He's like, "I did it." And I was, he's like, "I was the one who helped us get Brizgalov." And I was like, "Oh my God." I could like run back to my keyboard, like flyers were getting Brizgalov. This is awesome.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh man. Yeah. Awesome. I think I think he's still getting paid, is he not?
Yeah.
Or maybe
28, guys.
Yeah, oh my God. Amazing.
It'd be nice to get that check
great,
every
great,
year.
Great agent.
July 1 or whatever it is. I had a question quickly. I know you're busy as hell. We appreciate you, Frank, taking the time with us and making us smarter. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Toronto's pick. Was that a surprise? Because I thought that I had read this kid was like a little bit, maybe third round.
Pick. Yeah. A lot of people had him. Easton Cowan is his name. They had him in the late 50s, early 60s. And I just want to be totally clear. Like I've got enough on my plate chasing 32 teams outside of really the top 10 players in the draft. I don't know jack shit about.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to sit here and profess to anyone that I know or have seen Easton Cowan. The people that I trust, the scouts that actually do the work, the draft expert that I have on staff here at Daily Faceoff, Stephen Ellis, who did an incredible job this year. A lot of people seem to think it's a reach, but look, I'm not going to knock anyone in what they see, because there's plenty of players every year that if everyone saw it consensus, they, you know, guys that go on to play 1,000 games wouldn't get picked in the fifth round.
Right.
So, you know, if you see something you like, I'm never going to knock someone for going to get it, because he apparently had a really quiet regular season and then was awesome in the playoffs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Point of game.
Yeah. I don't know if like maybe the Leafs' own recent playoff woes remind them that they need guys that actually show up when it counts. maybe that's what did it for them, but I don't know. I'd be curious to see what happens. And I also kind of liked that. If you noticed, Brad Treliving, their new GM there, had their head scout, Wes Clark, make the pick. And part of it, I think, was because Calgary didn't allow Brad Treliving to be at the table until the pick was made. But the other part of it is maybe it was just he's sending the head scout up there to make the pick, essentially reminding everyone, hey, not my guy.
Yeah, right. That's a good point.
Quickly, too, it's funny you said that, because our friend and our partner with Nation Network, Jay Rosehill, I was watching him the other day, and he was talking about Marner and respectfully saying he just feels like he's a little soft. One of my questions was, quickly, do you think any of those big guys there in Toronto get moved? But the other thing that I found funny was Rosie goes, "I'm not even sure he could lift the Stanley Cup.
He's
strong enough to lift the Stanley Cup." Fuck, I was laughing. But anyway,
I did see that, and Rosie is unreal. I love that he has absolutely no filter.
Yeah,
and can't wait to. We have a 2-hour free agent special on Saturday from 11 to 1. Jay Rosehill will be on the panel with Mike McKenna. I'll be there breaking some signings if I can and whatever I can get my hands on. So it should be a fun 2 hours, because we had Rosie on for the trade deadline.
Yeah.
And the Calgary Flames and Coyotes made a trade where they swapped brothers. Like one of the Richie brothers went to Arizona and one went to Calgary. And on air, Rosie was like, "Do you think they could just leave their girlfriends there too?" Who else would say that?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
On like a big, you know, trade deadline special. So can't wait to see what he's cooking up for Saturday.
Yeah,
but, for sure. I was going to bring that up, your guys' show this Saturday at from 11 to 1. That's awesome.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. And with the Leafs, like, here's the thing. William Nylander, this contract negotiation, I don't want to say it's coming down to the wire because it doesn't really have a deadline. But I do think that if they hit a dead end and they feel like they can't get a deal done, that Brad Treliving won't be afraid to trade him. He's been down this path before with the same agent. Johnny Gaudreau and William Nylander both have are represented by Lewis Gross. And I think there's probably some scar tissue there from how that played out with Johnny. And I don't foresee a world in which this time around Brad Treliving goes through it and says, you know what, we're just going to have Nylander play out the season and he can walk for nothing. I don't see that being the case.
Right.
Yeah, right. Good point. And before we let you go, Frank, obviously free agency tomorrow. You know, maybe your top three available free agents. What's going on in the free agency market?
Yeah, so it's a thin class this year, which is why our show is only 2 hours instead of four. Some have called it the worst free agent class that we've seen, and I would tend to agree. And it's interesting that you asked about the top three, because the top three guys on my board are Dmitry Orlov, Tyler Bertuzzi, and JT Compher. And they're kind of, for typical free agents, they're sort of actually in the mid-tier of how the NHL structures its pay scale. They're probably going to be anywhere from like $5 to $7 million on an AAV. So nothing huge, huge money that's going to be paid out. But I think the real intrigue in this free agent class isn't in the top 10 and where guys like Ryan O'Reilly or Michael Bunting or Tristan Jarry end up going. For me, it's somewhere between 25 and 50. If you are a contending team that we're now entering a fourth straight season of a flat cap, you got to find value somewhere. And I think, you know, the fact that you're not shopping at Gucci or Louis Vuitton, you can still get some decent things at Walmart. And that's sort of the world in which these players are on the pay scale living in, that teams could get their hands on to fill out their bottom six, to fill out their third pair, that I think there's some real value out there to be had.
Awesome. Yeah, it's interesting.
I look forward to watching your show. I'm hoping like for some trades too, you know? Like,
yeah, a little movement, a little action.
But
I think there will be, honestly. Yeah. I think there's enough guys also of contracts that teams are going to try and move before even the buyout window closes on Friday at 5 p.m. There's going to be a lot of action. And the cool part about this summer, guys, is it used to be like there's such a crazy frenzy on July 1st that like July 2nd, you could kind of like turn your phone off and go fishing. Now, this is going to linger for a bit. It's going to take some time for free agents to get where they're going. And it also means that because there was such a quick turn from the draft to free agency, usually there's a week to 10 days. The trade part is also going to linger on too. Like there's so many guys still available that I think could change hands.
Wow. Yeah.
That'll be interesting.
It will be interesting. Well, we appreciate you, Frank. I know you're still recovering there and got some prep to do before your show. So we appreciate you hopping on, sharing your wisdom.
Always good to spend some time with you guys. And just time to detox. So I
can water, beautiful. Water, man.
Yeah, right.
Gotta hydrate.
Yeah.
That's it.
All right, brother. We really appreciate you, man.
Appreciate you.
Yeah, have a good one, guys.
All right, a big thank you to Frank Saravelli hopping on. A little under the weather from his trip to
when
Nash.
You're there, it's hard. It's hard not to have
it's a lot
fun.
Of work.
It's those drinks start flowing. It's not like Vegas where they're pumping the oxygen, but they're pumping everything else. Sitting there, like you said, there's a lot going on. And my coach with the Rebels, GM and coach, he messaged me and Justin Hale, sorry. He messaged me and he was like, I see the big boy over here. I'm in Tootsies. I said, you can go over and fuck slap him. He's like, no way. He's like, no. But I said, you go say hi. And I asked him the next day. He said, I didn't want to bug him. He's like, I was a little intimidated by him. I'm like, that pigeon, he's soft.
He should have. Well, speaking of Tootsies, that was a great little line, one-liner from Billy Guerin.
Yeah.
Leading the draft there.
That was great. He got up there. What he said, I'd like to thank Tootsies for hydrating our people while we've been here.
Yeah.
Whew.
Pretty classic.
That's
comment
a great
from
place
from
to
a
have.
Legend.
That is. He is a legend. Billy G. Love that guy. But yeah, thanks to Frank, man. He's got a lot on his plate right now.
Oh, yeah.
Just finished the draft. Now they've got the free agent frenzy, which he obviously said, you know, it's not as good as normal, are not as big names, kind of a second tier with the free agents. But it's still, hopefully there's a lot of trades, like we said, and make it interesting anyway. Yeah. I know you'll be glued to the TV tomorrow, Riggs.
I loved his analogy, like Gucci.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah,
that was
and good, then the yeah. one in the Walmart, the Target, so you know.
You get some good things there.
Yeah. It's not always about the Gucci and the product.
Well, I mean, a lot of times it is.
I know you're big dogging and all that stuff.
Oh, well, no, I wouldn't say that, but got a backpack.
Got the luggage, too?
God, you've seen my
Louis,
luggage.
The Louis V?
I do not.
I think it's that time, Nast.
Is it time?
Oh, is it ever?
Clear questions brought to our friends by Clear Rum. Make sure people... You go to the site, Nasty 2023 for 35% off.
Ooh.
Gotta get it.
Hydrate.
It's the best.
Ready to rock your baller. Let's go.
Let's go. We got Nikki T1428 over on Instagram. Mm. He says, now that the draft is over, how long do you think the rebuild will take? 2 to 4 years, question mark?
Well, great question. You know, and I think... The way Frank described Michkov and his contract status and why rush it, you know, why rush it?
Yeah.
Early on in the rebuild process, I think that 3-year contract probably falls right in the middle of right where that sweet spot where they want to be. So, I would think 3 years probably.
Yeah, I would think 2's a little too soon.
Yeah.
You know, but. Yeah, 3 to 4.
But I think, three should be realistic.
Yeah.
I would think, right? Especially, you know, planning on having him come in at that time. But you'd like to think that some of these pieces have evolved enough or they add these surrounding pieces, the missing pieces, and the chemistry and everything kind of comes to a head at that time. So I'm saying 3 years. I'm certainly no specialist on rebuilds. But,
right,
but I like to think that they got a nice core to start with here, you know, and I know that Danny B's actively, you know, shopping guys around and trying to make the team better every day here. So
yeah, he's getting as many assets as he can. I mean, that's fortunately you got to, like we said earlier, you got to tear it down to build it back up, and it'd be guys you don't want to see go. But if he can get enough for him, you know, like you said, in these next 3 years, and you have Michkov coming over, you know. It's definitely the way to do it, and I don't think 2 years, but I'd say 3 to 4, and you've got a pretty damn good team.
Yeah,
if it's done, you know, if they get the breaks, you also need luck.
You do
when we're dealing with this stuff, and
so
we'll see. But yeah, that's a great question. I would say 3 minimum.
Yeah,
you know, so
I like it.
Yep,
we got one from Beer League Zero over on Twitter, boys. Seems like a high-risk, high-reward pick with Matvei Michkov. Is his career going to turn out like the movie Rocky, or more like Rocky V?
Oh, boy, wow. Well, I mean, we don't know. It's like Frank said, we'll look back in 4 years and see where all these first-round picks are. So it's hard to say, but my goodness, watching this kid play, like seeing the highlights. Obviously, we haven't watched a full game, but from what we've heard from scouts, what we've seen from highlights, like he would be a number one pick any other draft.
Yeah.
Bedard wasn't there, like Frank said. And,
yeah.
You know, to me, it's a huge pickup. He really seems like he does want to come.
Yeah.
In NHL. So I think this is a win.
Well, yeah. And Frank uses words like grand slam, home run, slam dunk, upper deck. And he's not the only guy that I've heard, you know, talk like that. And then I watched Danny B's interview post-draft and talked about Michkov and how he really wanted to be a Flyer. You know, Flyers, obviously a global brand. And just the same type of essence around how he was talking. Like, this guy is special.
Right.
And I think a lot of people knew that. There was obviously... That risk around the contract and being in Russia and all that, but I think if everything goes the way you'd expect and hope, I mean,
yeah,
he's going to be like an elite player in the league and obviously for the Flyers.
That's what you're hearing, words like special, elite, you know, game changer.
Yeah.
All these things. So I think Danny knocked it out of the park, like Frank said.
Yeah, I agree.
Last one. This is from Notorious P.I.G.
Oh,
sends us a lot of questions. Thank you for that.
Yes.
What are the challenges when a player doesn't speak English?
Yeah. You know, I could speak for a couple guys I played with. They conveniently don't understand the coach at times.
Yeah, conveniently.
Yeah, obviously there's, you know, a communication block there. But I think, you know, in hockey terms, I think with – you know, the technology, you know, just whiteboards and hockey rinks.
Yeah.
You know, I think you can get a pretty good idea of what the coach is saying based on tone and, you know, and situations. I mean, these guys are elite hockey players, right? I mean, they're not, you know, coming out of, you know, the woodworks and, you know, trying to grasp a new game. So, but obviously, like anything, if we went over to Russia, it'd probably be a little bit challenging, you know, maneuvering around and just the everyday basic things. But I think as far as hockey goes, I think you can communicate your message. I mean, you've been around a lot of
Europeans. We've had situations where kids came for development camp that haven't really learned English. And Slava Kuznetsov, who's you know, skating coach over there, is conveniently there and was always able to help. You know, when Big Z, Zabula, came over, he you know, now he could speak. But also with Michkov, he's got 3 years.
Yeah.
So I'm sure one of the things he's going to start doing is, you know, maybe
brushing up on his English.
Yeah, but it's happened. We've seen it happen. I've dealt with it before. Even Bob, when Sergei Bobrovsky came in, he could say hi.
Yeah.
And literally the guy worked
and
hard.
And green tea.
And drank green tea. But that was after about 4 days, so he had already learned that.
Right.
But with Sergei, he came in and he was doing English lessons twice a day.
Yeah.
And literally in 2 weeks, you could speak to him, which to me was amazing. I think they'll be able to get around it. But that is a great question.
It really is.
You do have guys come in that they can't speak, but you hope by the time Michkov gets here, you know, he's got a little bit of an understanding of the English.
Yeah, I agree. I think just navigating around is probably more challenging. But I think as far as communicating hockey stuff, again, like, he's been around hockey long enough.
Right.
Understands what's, you know, what the expectations are, nuts and bolts of the game. You know, again, coach's tone. I mean, I'm pretty sure Torts will let you know, you know, one way or another, what he's looking for. If he's still around, but yeah, I mean, I think he'll be fine. He'll figure it out sooner than later. So appreciate the questions.
Yes.
Thanks, Baller. That's a wrap. Episode 121. In the books.
Yes.
And we'll tune in next week for 122. Until then, stay safe, knuckleheads.
See ya.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.